We got a whole mess of announced dates to talk about. What release dates is what I meant, not going on zero sleep. What's up? Final Fantasy XV seems to be just a chugging right along with fresh content. And oh boy, Far Cry 5. It's all that and more right now on Inventory Full. Don't you go changing.
Welcome to
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inventory Full PT on twitch.tv/InventoryFullPT. Thanks again to the fine folks at the Popcorn Talk for hosting us at their studio for this show. I'm one of your hosts, Mark B. Donica, joined as always by Nate Miller.
I'm Nate Miller.
Yes, you are. Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey, guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth.
Patrick Dees.
What's up, nerds? I got you, Nate.
and, man, this is just a big old release date sort of a thing.
Yep.
But before we get to those... Who finished Far Cry 5? This is the crux of our discussion last week.
One hand. Me.
Stacey's gone.
Nate.
She left.
She's out. Shame, guys.
She's out. Why is that shame?
No.
Nate
this is
has
a big game.
Spoiler anxiety.
Yes.
So Nate rushed to finish the story.
This is fair.
Are we opening with that? Are we talking about the ending? No.
No. God, no. Why would we do that?
You asked.
I don't know what happens.
So, Nate, though, but I do want you to answer, like, was... Because, like, all I've heard about the ending is that it's really divisive. Like, thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't want to know, but I'm curious to see if it had it.
All I'm going to say is our wonderful Steve in the booth also finished the game.
Yep.
And as we discussed earlier, he thought he got the bad ending, but he got, in fact, the good ending.
Okay.
So that's...
The actual ending.
Right.
Steve, you feeling about the same way? Like, the ending was not too satisfactory?
Yeah. Small story on that, short story. Short but bittersweet, playing co-op with a friend. I get up to get a cup of coffee during a cutscene. My partner accidentally shoots one of the main characters of the game, and I thought that led us towards the bad ending.
Got it.
I was wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
There we go. Now we're showing up. But, Nate, you haven't really been able to talk too much. You really want to talk about this ending and just the game in general.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I think we can talk about the game. I don't want to.
I think it's a pretty good story game. The other Far Cry's are interesting and usually had a good hook and not a good finish.
Right.
And I don't know if this is necessarily a good finish, but it's definitely interesting, and I think it's worth talking about for sure. Especially with the possibilities of different choices that are there.
Oh, I'm so excited. See, that's why either way, it's divisive, and I know some people really hate it, but I'm super on board to see this through just because it's so polarizing. I can't wait. I'm a ways through.
How many hours did you put in so far?
I'd say 17. I'm probably halfway through. I got John and halfway through Faith. So, okay. I don't know, a little over halfway, I would imagine. You like Faith?
Yes, I do.
It's been good.
Super trippy.
I'm super excited to finally get my hands on it. Now that one of my major seasons is over,
yeah.
I have a chance to play a little bit more. But speaking of finishing games, Stacey... You finally finished Assassin's Creed Origins.
I'm so proud of you.
So let me first start this by saying the point that I stopped at because I thought it was the point of no return in the end, that was nowhere near the end.
Can you say it without spoiling it? Where were you?
Well, it was at this point where Aya looks at you and she goes, "Look, once we get on this ship, there's no going back."
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, nope.
And I was like, all right,
wait, that's
going
not
into
it?
The final stretch. No. Not even close.
Not even close.
But not even close.
That's just
because,
me.
No, because there's some things that change. The status quo changes.
True.
We'll say. So the status is not quo.
It is very unquo. No. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. It is quo. Unquo. It just changes.
Okay, all right. Varying states of quo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I did it all. And
good.
I finished the main
storyline. But did you want to 100% it?
Okay, so I am about 6 locations away from 100%ing it. And
that's
two
great.
Elephant fights, damn. So I am almost there.
That's really solid.
I want to know where you ended up on the ending, though. Like, I think Nate and I were in different camps. You didn't love it. I thought it was arguably the best written Assassin's Creed.
So I think that the kind of mid-ending was very slow and a little forced.
Yep.
And I did not enjoy most of that. I think the actual ending...
Yep.
Was really good. I was impressed, and I really liked. Because all right, this wasn't a, this was not an Assassin's Creed game.
No.
It was not an Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it's
Creed
when
game.
We're on the same page there.
It
right?
was yeah. wonderful, yeah. and yeah. I enjoyed yeah. the hell out of playing every second of it. It was not an Assassin's Creed.
What we talked about a couple weeks ago, though, it's a game about loss and coping with loss. And I think that's fascinating to me when I expected, this game's full of proper nouns and a bunch of shit I don't care about.
I 100% blame Patrick for my distaste for the ending.
That's fair.
You overhyped it. You way overhyped it.
I know, I'm sorry.
One of the things that kept me plugging through this game, not that I didn't enjoy it, because I really did, was thinking that as I would get to the end of the story, I would get the Assassin's Creed stuff missing in the rest of the game.
I should have.
And I was all right, well, we're building it. We're building because getting there. But the payoff in the end was just so
I could see if you were looking for that, how that would be anticlimactic. Yeah, and I owe you one. I'm buying drinks next time.
But again, like you said, I always tell people, when I talk about the game, I love the game. It's one of my favorite RPG games. It's probably my favorite Assassin's Creed game, but not for any Assassin's Creed-y reason.
Totally.
Exactly.
Well, I would say people said the same thing about Black Flag because it was all of the piratey goodness. It was all that stuff was great.
But I think it's better than Black
Assassin's
Creed.
It is.
They don't need to cling to this Assassin's Creed title to make a good game.
Agreed.
I think that's what they've proved in both of these cases.
Witchery?
It was very witchery.
Witchery?
Yes.
Dig it. Patrick, did you finish A Way Out, or is this last week?
I finished A Way Out last week, and I ended
just checking.
The show. I didn't get to talk about it, really, because I ended it. Do you remember we had a few extra minutes? I'm like, yo, by the way, I'm playing A Way Out. Have you guys touched that yet? You picked it up?
No, I haven't got it yet.
I just recommend people play it. I think
I'm waiting
it starts
for someone
out...
else to buy it and then be like, hey, you want to play this?
Can you cross play between PC and Xbox? I'll play it again.
Let's do it.
Done.
If you can cross play.
So it's, I'm not sure that
with
you
Xbox?
Can, but I own it on
we'll
Xbox.
Find out.
Done. I will play that through. Just because I think it takes some chances and it does some things that I think are really cool. It starts out very reminiscent of The Room a little bit. There's some very Tommy Wiseau style lines. And at the beginning, I'm like, all right, what are we doing here? But by the end, do you remember Brothers? Did you play Brothers, Tale of Two Sons?
Mm-hmm. I've seen videos of it.
Very compelling ending. Every week I talk about the games I wept at on the show. But I cried like a child having a couple brothers at the end of that game. And this game, obviously different ending, but also very compelling. And they find that they really earn it. So it does some really novel things, the way they change the frames. And there's this really I won't say too much. It's a narrative-driven game. But I would encourage people to play it. It's just different than anything I've ever played.
So. Totally with you on that, Patrick. I found the ending really Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was interesting. So, and there's two endings, right? Because, again, you guys, you can land on some choices. That's all I'm saying. And you make those together, kind of. You'll see.
Yeah, but that comment, Steve, that was pretty telling, man.
Yeah, a little bit. The game's great. I think it's weird. I think it sells itself as this epic crime story, and it's not that. It's a little bit goofy at the beginning. And I actually think the weakest part, the game starts in prison, they've shown all the trailers.
Yeah.
And that's about their breakout. And I think the weakest part is that first third, which is weird that a game would open on
so timidly.
Yeah. Hmm. It's weird. So I would just encourage people, if you play the first hour, keep going, because then it starts actually touching on what makes it great once you get outside of the prison.
That's better than more modern releases that are once you get past hour 15.
Oh, yeah, no.
It really starts to pick up. I'm like, yeah, but this is 15 bloody hours.
Yeah, no, great.
So my big choice of what I played on the plane to New Orleans was a little game that I'd like to call Golf Story. I was pretty hyped, just because I every once in a while a nice golf game.
Sure.
And then when I saw the trailer and saw that there was Frisbee Golf, as well as putt-putt. They have a putt-putt course available and all of the different things. And I like the idea of a golfing RPG.
Yeah.
It was a really silly idea. I got to play it for a couple of hours, and I'm really enjoying it. I would recommend it if you have it, if you're a golf fan.
What's
of course.
The setup, though? There's a story, though, behind it, right? Rounds of golf are the battle system. Is that correct?
Yeah, the tutorial.
That's so good.
The tutorial is your dad teaching you how to golf.
Okay.
And then you flash forward to, you just moved out of your ex's house, and she's what are you doing? You need to come pick up your stuff. What are you doing? I'm going golfing. Stop going golfing, you low-down piece of crap! And you have to earn your way into the club, and once you're a representative of this club, this golf club, then you start going around to the different things as a representative. And it's a it still is ultimately golf, but yeah. Like the first course that you're at is in a little bit of disrepair, so there's moles everywhere. So it shows you, as long as you avoid like these red circle areas, your ball won't get taken and like thrown into a sand trap or thrown into the water or whatever.
It checks out.
So yeah, it's golf. That's the thing. It's golf. But it was a nice thing to have on a plane because it's like, oh, I can play a couple of rounds. Cool like that. I don't have to be super invested in any story. I'm not going to be thrown off if I miss a cutscene.
Right.
But it was good.
Oh no, what's going on? Yeah, are you a golfer in real life? I don't even know this about you.
I have previously, but it's just one of those things of like, who has the time? Goodness. Yes. I really like it, and I think it's a fun. I like very like, what's the way to put it? I like new takes on like old classic
yeah,
formulas, sure. And an art golfing RPG was like, all right, okay, and it was on sale, but it was
always a
wonderful help.
I mean,
Nate, do you want to talk about Crusader Kings at all? Or no?
I mean,
I don't know. Dude.
I do and I don't. I know I put
do
it up
we
there.
Want you to talk about
Just real quick. Especially some people might know, Crusader Kings 2 is a strategy game. It's a grand strategy game. It came out in 2012.
Yeah, I know of it.
Oh, have you played it?
No.
Okay.
No, I know of it.
Well, I've been kind of looking at it. I'm a big strategy guy, so I've been looking at it for a while. But Steam did a thing this weekend where they gave it away for free.
Yeah.
So if you pick it up, download it, keep it for free forever. What I didn't know is that the reason why they're giving away this free game from 2012 is because they're still constantly releasing content and updating the game.
Oh, cool.
They just put out a new update in February. So there's like $200 worth of DLC stuff to download for the game. But I just have the vanilla. A very interesting game, kind of like Civilization, where you control a city-ish kind of a thing. But instead of like playing a country, you play a person. And the goal of the game is really to create a dynasty. So when your character dies, whoever is the heir to their, you know, titles, whether it's count or duke or emperor, king or whatever, you know, it goes on to your child.
Right.
So then you just keep playing. And it goes on, and it's set in like medieval Europe. It's all like historical, like the actual families and stuff and people that were there. And then of course things change as you play the game. But it's very interesting. It's super dense. I've so far spent more time reading about it and watching guides and trying to figure out how to play it than I have actually playing it.
Mark of a good game.
But it's just really cool. And the thing that really got me sucked in is there's a Game of Thrones mod that some people really poured over. It's a full conversion.
Oh, sick.
It's so big, it's not even on the Steam
kinda
Workshop.
Why I think you should talk
it's
about
on
it.
ModDB, yeah. And it's to being able to go in and play as basically any one of the houses. There's a few set scenarios that you can play in. Mm-hmm. But you can go in the custom and play as any random person in a house and just kind of develop your own dynasty.
Yeah.
But being able to play also from different times in the books, all the way from like Aegon came, for anyone who's a Game of Thrones nerd, up through Dance of Dragons to Robert's Rebellions, I played a few times.
Cool.
And just got wrecked. And then, so then I tried a Robb Stark campaign in Clash of Kings. Yeah. But it was really cool. Very complex game.
Is it still free right now?
I don't think so. I think it was just a few days. I posted the link in our Discord.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just for like 48 hours.
So that's why you should be on our Discord. The link down below.
It does sound interesting. The base game, it should be pretty cheap, I'm sure.
But also that Game of Thrones mod, I presume, is free.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones mod is free.
That sounds
for sure.
Excellent.
Hashtag.
Yeah, it's cool. Like it's, you know, yeah, it's like the perfect Game of Thrones mod because the game is all about politics and scheming and plotting to kill people and plotting to dethrone people and claiming titles. It's very interesting.
It works in full effect.
Right.
No, I'm about it. You sounded really hyped when we first talked about it before
it's
the show.
It's another one of those like dark addictions, though, because once I figure that game out,
I found the game.
It's great.
Are you kidding me? Because
I'm
reading about the game, and they're like, yeah, basically, there's no end to the game.
Right.
So, which I always wondered when you play Civ, the game ends, and I was always like, no, and just one more click, and just kept playing. So it's like, why even bother?
Well, now you have a new addiction. Speaking of some addictions, hey, so let's talk about some single-player games being released. Well, I mean, let's start with one single-player game released. We finally have a date for Spider-Man.
Yeah, we do.
Spider-Man is coming out September 7, 2018. And the only villain that we've really seen so far, Mr. Negative, is the one big baddie so far.
I'm not in that game.
Say what?
Been on.
How dare. It's... I mean, we still have very little information.
They announced the other villains, right? There's no information on them. They've only shown negative.
They said, the story of Spider-Man PS4 will feature classic villains, but Mr. Negative has been the one shown in any sort of prominence.
I think they spoke about it in the GI article. I think, like, so it opens on putting Kingpin away,
mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Negative is, like, the first, like, act or whatever. But I think, like, they mentioned other people that would be making appearances, but they've not shown anybody.
Okay. So, I didn't see that in the article that I found.
Probably the Sinister Six thing.
It's tough. It's tough doing a Spider-Man game, right? Because, like, especially with this, because there's no... Well, because you have to think, like, longer term, right? So, like, they now have this IP. There'll probably be a sequel. This game's going to probably sell pretty well. So, like, what do you spend and make a good impression now versus what do you retain and, like, maybe introduce Venom in the sequel?
There's an infinite supply of...
I don't know.
Especially now with, like, Spider-Woman's...
Spider-Verse is pretty hefty.
Yeah, and then there's also the Doc Ock being Spider-Man thing.
Superior,
like,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Pig from the Simpsons. That's all I got.
So much stuff.
There was a run of Spider-Man where Dr. Otto Octavius and Peter Parker switched brains. And
makes sense.
And then Dr. Otto Octavius died, which means that Peter Parker's consciousness died.
So
Doc Ock was like, I can do a better job. And he essentially, similar to, like, Iron Spider had, like, kind of Doc Ock arms on it as well. But he was just like, I'm going to be the best Spider-Man that I can be, but was kind of a dick about it. It's a really interesting read because it just changes a lot of the dynamics that you usually see now that Otto's in the driver's seat.
I had no idea.
Superior Spider-Man.
I need
is
to
the
be around more comic nerds because I need this in my life.
Just like
without
how,
reading
how
it,
Dr.
I want the
Doom
shortcut,
is Iron
you know?
Man now.
Yeah, just like how Dr. Doom is Iron Man now.
I'm sorry, what?
Victor Von Doom is the current Iron Man.
Just, okay.
Yep.
Gotta sell them.
Nate is
books.
Me, and I am Nate, and, like, what is up, what is down.
Exactly.
Yep. So, Patrick, day one purchase for you?
Oh, 100%.
Stacey, day one purchase for you?
I'll play this game.
Yeah.
Nate, now, if you had a PS4 available, well, you do have a PS4 available, it's not yours.
I might Redbox it, maybe, if it looks really, really good as more stuff is starting to come out, but I'm not, like, really hyped about
what
this.
What would have you really hyped about it? Because I'm, like, over the moon
about
this game.
Do you know how many Spider-Man games I played in my lifetime?
Like, how many by Insomniac, and, like, how many have, like,
dude,
been
the
first party?
I don't,
like,
care. Like, Insomniac's cool.
See,
I liked Tony Hawk. Cool.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Well, so
that wasn't, Insomniac.
Neversoft.
That was Neversoft.
Yeah. Oh, Insomniac did the Sunset Overdrive, which is
a
dope ass game.
Clank.
Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. Yep. I think they're awesome.
I thought Ratchet
awesome
and Clank
developers.
Was, Naughty Dog.
No, Naughty Dog was Jack and Daxter.
Jack and Daxter.
Yeah. Insomniac is Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, like they're
but
awesome.
They both kind of started as.
No, I'm not hype.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, the preview stuff looks cool.
It looks
already.
Cool, right? Yeah.
I'm not. I'll play it at some point. I'm sure, but I'm not. I'm not really a PS4 guy, so
that's
the whole
fair.
Like I'm a PC guy.
Yeah.
It's a PS4 exclusive, so
that's
they're not
fair.
Even I'm not even in their
right.
market really. Mm.
They're just saying a lot as somebody who doesn't read comics knows very little about Spider-Man. They're saying a lot of the right things, sort of like, hey, this is a more experienced Peter Parker, right? Like, he's been Spider-Man for 5 or 6 years. He's like 23, 24, whatever. Like, he's got his whole, like, litany of moves. Like, he's not just learning his powers, right? And so he's like, you know, and so, like, the just the locomotion in the trailer they showed looked really cool. I'm with you. If they mess that up, then this game's not fun. I'm out. I agree. Most games miss that. But it was the one thing that they kept saying was, like, yo, like, what's his name? Ted Price, president of the studio, kept saying, like, look, we heard the community. It's, like, all about how he moves. And so, like, I think that they was a big focus of theirs. They're saying the right things to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that was always the coolest part about Spider-Man games, was just swinging around the city. Slinging webs. Yep.
And if that's dynamic and easy enough, then I'm into it.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
One of the things, I played Spider-Man Web of Shadows, which is the one where the symbiotes were taking over the city. And then...
That's Neversoft.
Insomniac came out. Ernest, what the... Ugh. Infamous came out.
Yes.
And did traversal infinitely better.
No,
and I went,
that game's
and I,
so good.
I was borrowing the Spider-Man game from a friend, and I said, I'm not going to play this
anymore.
Yeah,
right,
because
it's the best superhero game
you
ever.
Know
it's so good.
Traverse really well. You play Crackdown?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
Jumping in that
if Crackdown
game?
3
oh,
ever comes out, I'll be all for it.
It won't.
If won't. But yeah, so that's coming out. Nate, how hyped are you for Battle of Azeroth? Battle for Azeroth?
I'm actually pretty medium hyped.
Yeah,
I would say. I'm so glad. I mean, the trailers, excited about something.
The trailers do. I mean, they're always super cool. But then it's like, all right, well, how will this translate?
It's just I am excited, but there's a lot. They're doing a very different release strategy this time. Like the alpha is much shorter than it has been previously. The collector's edition is missing a bunch of stuff that they've had since forever. And even like the whole allied races thing, the fact that they have turned on content that for an expansion that's dropping in September, that the new allied races are out now that you can play, and you're still playing the old content and stuff, but it's still some new missions. They've announced a lot of pre-patch stuff is going to be coming up until the launch, and I think, I don't know, it's kind of a big deal. It's cool. Some of the coolest things of my experiences playing WoW were on launch cycles, where everyone is going to play is on. Things are happening. They're really good at doing these events that make you feel like you're a part of a world that's changing, because like it happened and we can talk about it years later, but you can't do it now. It happened then and that was it. Mm-hmm. So it's cool at creating those experiences, and I think them extending that out throughout the months to not just be like in the few weeks before the launch is a really good idea, and it's going to bolster the play for people that return drastically, because they didn't do this for Legion. They teased a lot of stuff that people have been wanting for a long time, so a bunch of people came back, but the way that they had set their content to drip out with these time gates and stuff, I think made a lot of people burn out on Legion really quickly, myself included.
Yeah, I didn't see too much about Legion after like 2 months after launch, really. People just got done with the stuff. It's like, okay, what's next?
It just didn't take too long to hit cap and then hit it to the point of where the game is actively slowing down your progress so that you don't get too far ahead, basically.
As a retention mechanism?
Exactly. Yeah. They focus on the catch-up mechanic on the other side, but if you have to have a catch-up mechanic, it's because there is data.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Now, this is why I tell people, if you are interested in playing the game, now is a great time. There's lots of boosts available if you just want to play the new stuff. If you want to play just the old stuff, they have completely revamped how the leveling works and how it scales with your own level, so you can just stay in zones. You don't have to out-level them and then never finish the story or go back and do missions that don't give you experience.
Yeah.
So now's a good time. All of the time-gated stuff is all completely caught up, so you just get up to cap stuff like right away.
It's very witchery. No, I'm just kidding. Now I'm just saying Witcher. Just apparently. I wish.
And now
give me some cyberpunk.
And now we've got Patrick's shirt.
Yep.
Witchery. something that I wanted to talk about. It finally got confirmed. The hype and hopes were real. Spyro is getting the reignited trilogy, similarly to what Crash Bandicoot got. And I don't know about y'all, but Spyro has been near and dear to my heart, because that was the game that made me want to buy a PlayStation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
So seeing it, I wouldn't say crash, but seeing it, poor choice of words, but seeing it change into Skylanders.
Right.
And live in this totally new thing where he's just kind of a side character in a thing. The game looks gorgeous. It looks
absolutely amazing. I didn't even know Skylanders came from Spyro.
It was Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the genesis of it.
So Spyro was sort of mainly featured in the first two or three, and Cinder was in it. Yeah. That probably doesn't catch with anybody. But I'm excited because it's Toys for Bob, who's been working on the Skylanders series, so they still have that little bit of familiarity with people who may...
It's the actual games.
Yeah, it's all three of the original games remastered.
Gorgeous.
The animation looks beautiful.
Yep.
Spyro was one of the really revolutionary games on the PS1, because they had a long render distance, but it was just at a really low count so that you could see where to go. And as you were flying towards it, it would get nicer nicer. Yeah, it was super cool. Also, Stuart Copeland did the soundtrack. Which was pretty wild. Stuart Copeland from The Police.
Yes.
Wow.
And it says that they're going to be reimagining the soundtrack, which means he's not doing it.
I hope it's dark and gritty.
But it...
Spyro is back.
But
Nate knows metal.
Come on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's coming out September 21st.
So much. I love metal. I like some...
Metal solid.
Nate hates
Stuart Copeland and metal.
I'm just not like...
Shut up. You're not. It's not for me either. I just want. Yeah. Like it's for Mark. I'm happy for him.
Well, I'm glad for the kids that are going to play this. That will get to. That won't be like immediately turned off to the game because it looks super old. Because I think some of the core gameplay is solid. But I'm not gonna play this.
Yeah, me neither. It's not for me.
It's just like you remember this is the reason why you got a PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
I remember this is the reason why I was able to convince my parents to get me a PlayStation 1. I'm gonna play Spyro. Look and see how wholesome it is.
Just Tekken, Burning Brute Sheep. Force, Resident Evil,
Mortal Kombat, 100%. Metal Gear Solid,
like, spine
and
out.
M games up and down.
Yeah.
Where'd you get those
Spyro.
From?
Just it's Spyro 2.
Spyro's grown up now.
Yep. There's fire on it.
It looks great though.
It does, right?
One of my favorite. It has one of my favorite like side mission modes in Year of the Dragon, which was the third one. They had a skateboard mode because Tony Hawk had just come out, and so similarly, there was I don't remember. I think it was the special edition of Metal Gear Solid 2. They added a skateboard like mini game for Raiden to do. Like people were just everything was skateboarding, and it was. Pretty fun and pretty dynamic, great. And I remember that too, just being in that mindset. I'm excited for it, especially the rumors. I mean, if Crash has anything, any indicator, this will come to Switch too, and that's where I will play it.
Yeah.
I will play it on the Switch on the go. Now, going from games that are going to be released to games that have been released and won't stop releasing things, hey, Stacey, want to tell us about this Final Fantasy 15 DLC?
Yeah, so more DLC, guys.
Woo!
We had, you know, the three DLC packs where we told the story of
and they
the
re-released.
Main
they re-released it. It's like a game of the year.
And we had the King's, so
Royal
like the
Edition?
Full, the Royal Edition, which has more added content. It expands some of the later missions and adds a couple of bosses. So that came out. And now there's even more DLC being added. So they're going to tell alternate stories for four more of the characters.
I've got Arden, Aranea, Lunafreya, and Noctis, the
himself.
Final Strike.
Stop. This is why it's taking so long for Kingdom Hearts 3.
This, no.
Stop making things for this game.
I was just going to ask, where do you guys check off on this? Because, I mean, like, look, they're on record saying this is games as a service. Like, this is not a surprise. And if it sells well, we'll see a season 3. Like, I'm not... But
We'll get the Final Fantasy 15 plus Final Mix.
Yeah, or something.
Something.
Are you good with this, Stacey? Like you're the
5.
One that like. I obviously love our Carboys. I love them so much, but I'm done. I'm over it.
You know, I've played through all the DLC as it's come out. I tried Comrades. I don't have anyone to play it with, so it's no fun. Like I don't really want to play it. You want to play it? We'll play it. All right, we're gonna play it. I'm just kidding. I've got someone to play it with. But I mean, the big thing that came out with this DLC, so they're going to tell individual stories for these characters, but they've also made it sound like they're going to tell alternate stories.
Right.
Where everyone kind of gets a happy ending.
Right.
Which is no, but this is confusing to me because we already did that. They already did that.
Yeah, they did.
Well, so Aranea says the episode will center on the final day of the Empire, Aranea's worst day ever. Aranea. I did say it right. Damn it. I still haven't played it. But yeah, the word, like, you're selling me on, hey, play through her worst day ever.
Dude.
I mean, Aranea is a badass character, and that's the one I'm actually most excited about. I'm interested in them because I think Luna really got the short end of this game. Like, she was treated horrifically in this game.
Yep.
And so, like, more content with Luna, great.
Amen.
I am super about that. The Noctis one, that's the one where I think we're going to get the most, like, big changes. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to make everything happy. It's all good.
Stop.
Things are good.
Dude, I think the single best piece of content wasn't even in this game. I think it was that Kingsglaive that came out before it. I genuinely think that's the best Final Fantasy 15 thing at period. Hard stop. Aaron Paul kicked some ass in that.
Nate, did you see Kingsglaive?
So good.
No,
the movie?
You should. I tried to. I fell asleep.
That good, huh? It's strong. It's strong.
But I don't have
Luna's
any.
Awesome in that.
I don't have any
great,
attachment
yeah.
to the plot.
Carboy.
Okay,
so it was really hard for me.
Well, we watched it back when we were doing the movie review show.
Yep.
And it was, I was like, sweet. I like Luna.
Yeah.
Because that's, we got to experience her a lot in the movie. And then by the time it started playing, you're like, no.
There's no Luna.
No. No, totally.
And that movie kind of ruined me for the game because, like, Luna and Noctis are, like, you know, the OTP of all OTPs, right? They're meant to be together. I think the relationship between Nyx and Luna in the movie is way more compelling. Like, she has way more interesting relationship.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So you're, like, going through this thing. It's like, oh, they're getting married. They're so happy. They love each other so much. But they don't really interact like that.
Huh.
No.
And some chemistry. It doesn't come across. And they have made a couple of updates since then that give them a little more depth to their relationship. So some of this DLC has helped strengthen what this plot was supposed to be.
That's good.
You know, it's a constant work in progress.
Can you imagine if... Just imagine some of these other, I was going to say Kingdom Hearts, but even like some of these other Final Fantasy games, if they could release DLC that like changed the story filled in plot holes, like there would be so much DLC. Yeah. Like, so this is very interesting. I'm curious to see how this Kingdom Hearts rollout is going to happen with the new DLC to fix this plot hole about this character.
It must be selling well. I'm impressed.
It has. Well, yeah, and I think that the Royal Edition did really well, and it just launched on PC. It had a really big release. There were a lot of people who were very excited.
I see it
excited.
At the top of Steam all the time. It makes me want to wait, though, because it's like, if I bought the game like you did, and now I would feel silly.
It is now less for the Royal Edition. If I had bought it for the PS4 on the Royal Edition when it came out last month, I would have paid less than I paid for the regular edition alone.
Right.
Not
even
included.
Yeah,
that's par for the course, though.
The price of really adopting. Yeah, right. No, totally.
I enjoyed playing that game immensely. So right. I don't regret it. I absolutely did. And I've enjoyed the DLC mostly so far. I have very mixed feelings about how they gave us an alternate ending in episode Ignis.
I've been waiting for it. It was actually
a really strong episode. Okay. You know, Gladiolus was the weakest of them.
I believe that
was the very first one. That was pretty not plot heavy. It didn't really do anything. Mm. But they've built on that. So the DLC has been pretty solid content. And so I'm tentatively excited to play. I'm going to play them, probably. I'm always ready to boot it up.
They also announced a couple of other features that we're going to start rolling out in the spring. A mod organizer, so you'll be able to properly see what mods you have installed and figure out what's there. Switch Noctis with a customized character. The ability to see the ghost, quote, ghost, of other custom characters in your game. Users will be able to leave items for other players to find. That sounds familiar. And then during the summer, there's going to be a big expansion to the Comrades multiplayer. There's going to be boss editions, a raid boss, a battle challenge. Comrades was going to become a standalone game this summer, so if you want, you can just do the multiplayer. And Square Enix's comment about all of the storyline stuff was that they're working towards the... it being the future that everyone longed for.
Stop. Go ahead, Nate. You look so pensive.
Which confuses me, because we already... Well, okay, we kind of got that with Ignis. So I guess, what, now they're going for everyone gets a happy ending instead of most everyone? Dude,
this doesn't even make sense to you. Like, when you were reading through those features, like, the ghosts... Like, if you looked... First of all, the map's not that big. So if you heat mapped it, there'd be, like, six places there are people. So you'd have, like, these six concentrations of ghosts and then a bunch of empty fucking space. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
That's called good design.
Yeah.
How far
do they go on the Comrades thing when there's Final Fantasy XIV?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you're going to...
If you have...
Just make a new one.
Yup.
Just
make a... Well, speaking of making a new one, the fine folks at PUBG are making a new map.
Hey!
And it's called Codename Savage. It is the third map to date, and it's going to be a little bit more of a tropical setting. This is a hype video made by a fan that sort of explores the entirety of the space. It measures in at 4 kilometers by 4 kilometers. Which is only a quarter of some of the size of the current map, so that means it's going to be a lot more.
The normal map is 8x8.
Did you play this, Nate?
I did. I played a few rounds. It's it's pretty cool.
You like it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different spots that are interesting that are obviously going to be hot spots. There's like a resort area. I like the difference in buildings. There's a lot of like tactically creative choices you can make. It's not a lot of like he's either going to do this or this. There's a lot of variety, which adds to play. And also the circle speed is actually faster too.
So this is a lot more of an intense.
It's a smaller map. Yeah, it's a much shorter experience. There's still some lulls and there's still some, you know, quiet tense moments, but there is a lot of I only got to play solos. I didn't play when I was playing. They didn't have squads enabled, and they enabled it, but I wasn't playing at that point. There's also weapon skins in the game now too.
With the loot boxes.
How much of this was did you feel was Fortnite inspired? Because it feels real like it. Again, this is them flinching
the small
again.
Map.
Yes.
You mean? Yeah. No, I mean they've been talking about putting out a 4x4 map since before Fortnite was doing.
Oh, was that right?
VR, okay. Or at least before it was big. They've been talking about it even before Miramar. The 4x4 map was the first map that they were supposed to do.
Oh,
second,
is that? I didn't even realize
but instead,
that.
Instead, they decided to go with the Miramar.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I just this feels like so much of a flinch, right? Like when the weapon scans, the parachutes, and now this.
I think it's more of a hey, now that we have people in our game so early. How do we keep making money?
Yeah, no,
and
I think the
weapon skins are not really from Fortnite as much as they are from just like Counter-Strike crates and keys and the way that they're doing that stuff and them trying to make money off the sale of stuff on the Steam market. But yeah, it's cool. They're also testing dynamic weather too. So they had like fog that was just like one dense layer, but now they have it like actually moving and like storms and rain and stuff like that.
Very cool.
So, yeah, so I mean, it's just nice to see that they're still working on the game. They're still updating it. And
I would hope so.
It's fun to play.
We launched in December. Now we're done.
We're over.
It's over.
It's over.
Done.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. But the map looks great. I mean, I think it just it goes. All right, we have a desert map. We have sort of like a plain hills.
Well, also, too, and now just like the design, greenery. Too. It's not just like a bunch of buildings. Like, it's like there's like a resort and like there's like a huge hotel structure. And then there's like some huts on the beach. Like
using that
military.
Dead Island, those Dead Island assets.
Yeah, no, it really is very Dead Island-esque.
Is this on the test server now? And is this available?
It was over the weekend.
No,
okay.
It was on a closed test.
Right.
To get an invite code.
Right.
For it, but I'm sure it was also very, very not done. Like,
yeah, that's
lots
what I heard. It was just like,
there's
just gray box in some areas.
Yeah,
I've heard that as
well. But it just goes to show that they are spending time with the actual design and the angles and gameplay
for
of the map, too. Yeah,
cool.
It was nice.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. There's no sort of a time frame. I mean, this is like an
done.
Alpha. This is like an alpha of the map. And to sort of get people hyped and excited, so I don't blame them. One of the last things we'll be talking about, just because it's what an interesting situation this is. So Shadow of War decided that it's dropping all microtransactions and loot. The statement released from the company reads as such. The core promise of the Nemesis system is the ability to build relationships with your personal allies and enemies in a dynamic open world. While purchasing orcs in the market is more immediate and provides additional player options, we have come to realize that providing this choice risked undermining the heart of our game, the Nemesis system. If it allows you to miss out on the awesome player stories you would have otherwise created, and it compromises those same stories even if you don't buy anything. Simply being aware that they are available for purchase reduces the immersion in the world and takes away from the challenge of building your own personal army and fortresses. In order to fully restore the core promise of the Nemesis system, we will be permanently removing gold, war chests, and the market from Shadow of War. Now, as folks who have played Shadow of War, how long has it been since you've gone back and played it?
I just went back 2 weeks ago. They released a DLC, The Blades of Galadriel.
Oh, is it out?
Yeah, it's out.
Is it good?
That's enough.
I got distracted. Far Cry came out, so like, you know, didn't immediately hook me. But she's got a whole different set of powers. It's kind of rad.
Right.
Like, she does some cool stuff.
Is it actually in a different zone?
No, same areas, but like, but she has her own finishes and like also her own powers. So it's kind of rad the way she ends people. Like, her finishes are very different.
Galadriel.
So I went. Ooh, I like what you did there. Dude, I don't know. This is what's so good.
Canon wise, is it after?
Right after the ending that I got, where it rolls credits and then goes into that Shadow Wars or whatever. It picks up literally right where that ends.
So it's during the Shadow Wars.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and there's a bunch of shit between her and Troy Baker. That immediately starts off, and she and Troy Baker start yelling at each other. It's great. At least it has a great start. I don't know how far I got into it, but I'm very excited. I'm going to play the next one too when that comes out, like late May.
I'd like to imagine that it's just Troy Baker.
Next one is supposed to be a new zone.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, good. It's supposed to have dwarves or something too.
I'm into it. I want to play that one too. I really enjoy that game. I'm curious to see what you guys thought. I wanted this on the rundown because, like, this is weird.
Right?
This is weird. This is, like, 8 months after the game came out, A. B, to me, it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but, like, how many times in that release did they say the Nemesis system? Like, 4 or 5 times. So to me, it sounds like what they're trying to do is preserve the brand integrity of the Nemesis system, meaning that WB has an announcement at E3 around a game with the Nemesis system that they want to disassociate loot boxes from. That's all this is about. I bet
you. Game of Thrones, Nemesis.
How fucking awesome would that be?
Don't tease.
I want a Batman. I want a Rocksteady game with the Nemesis system in it.
Rocksteady, early Batman, where it's all of the different mob families.
Done! That's all I want. And we haven't heard anything from Rocksteady in a long time. I think that Nemesis system is going to be at E3, and they need to move. They need to decouple that from loot boxes fucking entirely, because that is a toxic word these days. It's the only reason I come up with doing this, because it's 8 or 9 months. Like, that and, like, honestly, most of that long tail on spend on the game's done. So they're not realizing a lot of revenue from loot boxes from this right now. And, like, it's a weird PR move. I was just curious to see what you guys thought.
Definitely weird. Because it seems like the people who are hardcore into this game, trying to get every advantage, even with the DLC cycle, it seems like they're now waiting for the DLC to come out, playing that. So they're not spending the money. So it seems like a decision of, all right, we've gotten the money from the most dedicated among our player base. Yep. Let's make this transition now before we start getting ready for E3.
But what they said is true. Like, honestly, you've spent a lot of time with this game, but, like, that it really does rob you of, like, some of the beauty of the Nemesis system. So what they said is totally accurate. I don't think it's inaccurate, but it's just weird. It's weird.
It just has to show that, I mean, they acknowledge that they extended the Shadow Wars to encourage people to buy stuff.
Totally.
So.
Yeah. And does that make you interested to go back to do it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. If they shorten it, I might actually go back and play the Shadow Wars instead of just watching the video on YouTube.
Is that game look pretty good on PC?
Yeah.
Good looking game. Yeah. Like, it did not look good on the base Xbox. It was real bad. Like, the Xbox, the One X looks probably closer to PC.
It looks great. One of my favorite things to do is just hop on one of the dragons and just fly around.
Hop on him, Drake. They mentioned that any unused gold will be converted to in-game items if not spent by May 8th. And then with the market, war chests and gold will be permanently removed July 17th internationally.
Yeah, okay. Right before E3.
But yeah, I'm
not kidding.
No, right before. In terms of the conversion before May 8th. And then we talked about it beforehand, but Monolith also confirmed that Shadow of War will be updated. Saying this portion of the game will be improved with the new narrative elements and streamlined for a more cohesive experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people like the fact that game almost never ends. You can play that Shadow Wars forever. But also, who names Shadow of War Shadow Wars is the name of the last part of the game is real dumb. I'm just throwing that out there. Shadow of War Shadow Wars? You know.
It just rolls off the tongue. It's beautiful, rolls right?
The Shadow Wars.
Shadows. So many wars and shadows of wars. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It's a weird announcement.
There are many three shadows. Words,
there are so
word.
Many shadows.
Lots of shadows.
And I'm fighting them. I'm the only one fighting the shadows.
They've gotten to a war at this point.
Correct.
It's just a war of shadows.
Which, yes.
Shadow of Mordor, War of Shadows, the Shadow War.
Oh, I like that. Look at that. This writes itself, Mark. Why don't you work at WB? Yeah, just.
Who says I don't?
Yeah.
Ooh. So the description is just the word shadows like they did 20 times, right?
You guys talking about the Shadowed Edition?
That's the one!
It's just a picture of Shadow the Hedgehog.
yes.
Oh boy.
So, I mean, there was some other stuff that was in and around the gaming world today. But
I'd like to give a shout out to Team Liquid overcoming the meme of fourth place to win the North American LCS Championship 3-0 over 100 Thieves.
Yeah, there was some esports news, that being one of them. Man, you know, there's the Overwatch League just can't get a break.
Yeah, no.
They are they're having a rough time of it.
I would say karma is what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Do you want to talk about the Boston Uprising?
We can talk about their swift and pretty decisive action within a day, which, you know, good on
can be commended.
Wait, break it up, but what happened first?
So yesterday, allegations came out against one of their players. Now, one of their players that has been kind of the rising star in the league, you know, who has been noted that they're carrying the team sometimes, came out that he, a 21-year-old, was engaging in inappropriate behaviors with a minor.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, a huge to-do. I think we were kind of watching it unfold live online yesterday, and it was just a lot of, like, actual solid evidence. This girl did her homework before, like, coming forward with this, which, unfortunately, you kind of have to do nowadays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the immediate response was he's suspended indefinitely while we investigate, because there was nothing like hard evidence, I guess.
Mm.
And then this morning it came out that they have released him from the team.
Good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. God, yeah.
What an asshole.
Seriously.
Kids that are young and dumb and don't get how the world works, especially when you're thrown into the world of professionalism. Let's just say that.
Sure.
Not professional sports.
It doesn't even have to do with this. Has to do
just
with being
human decency. Totally agree.
I mean,
not saying that that's the only thing, but it's now that they're in the public eye, it's that additional stigma of, oh, I never thought this was going to bite me in the ass. Well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's another example. Because this has happened a couple of times now in the Overwatch League. Nothing this serious. This is so far the most serious thing that has come out of it. But there's been bad behavior, you know, with these guys who have been thrown into this public sphere. Mm-hmm. And the Overwatch League has taken a pretty decisive, pretty hard-line stance against behavior like that. And so far they have lived up to that. You know, they're like, we're not going to tolerate this stuff. And so far they haven't.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say is the reason why I am not really a big fan of the Overwatch League, aside of it being difficult to watch for me.
Agreed.
Is
and the new thing seconded. Is no better.
I'm not, well, I'm just not as an esports fan, and a, you know, I played, right. I did MLG stuff for Halo back in the day and playing Smash Brothers and esports comes from a core fan community that cares about the game on a competitive level, organizing their own tournaments. And then sometimes they get really big and you get like Evo.
Sure.
But Evo started as a smaller tournament for people who really cared about the game. They organized it. Mm-hmm. So when you have a developer making a game with the intention of it being an esport, paying all this money to get all these other people invested and get the cameras and get a studio set up and design the game to be an esports game, I think you're going to have issues like this where in a smaller, tight-knit gaming community, you're not going to have players like this. They're just not going to be around to be popular and be on these big teams because they would have to actually interact with other people in the community instead of just being circumvented and hired by people who just see numbers and are just trying to form a team and they're not involved.
The fighting game community, though, has a history of toxicity, right? Like, so that's been gross for like a long time. If you're saying it's a one-to-one, I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's not a one-to-one. I think something like League or Dota or even Counter-Strike is a better comparison in terms of like smaller communities that care more about the players, and when there's drama like, yo, this player is an a-hole, and then everybody cuts them out and they get kicked off teams and nobody talks about them, kind of a thing.
Well, it's a new league though, right? Like, and if I think they feel like anything there was swift action, I think that they're still self-policing well.
That is the one thing is they are taking administrative action very seriously and very quickly. That it's just the fan base that sometimes doesn't get how bad these not only accusations but just the actions of the players can be. And one of the most disheartening disheartening things that I saw when I did go to Overwatch League was the free XQC signs, and I was like, "Come, you're 6 years old. Yeah. You have no idea what that means."
Bunch of Jake Paul fans, loving it. That's so gross. Yeah, I wonder how much of that's Twitch driven. I mean, we'll never know. Yeah. And I'm full transparency. I'm in business with Twitch. But just wonder how much they're very committed to their terms and regulations and whatnot. And they paid $90 million for this league. So, and didn't even sign an exclusive. So I'm curious to see how much is driven. Like, you know, how much they're behind a lot of the ethics mandate here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing to wonder. Speaking of wondering, I just saw a news story. I wonder if the free-to-play Battle Royale market is getting a little bit too dense.
Talk to me, Mark.
The studio behind smash hit game Lawbreakers.
Yes.
Is entering the
was
fray.
Was that a smash hit? Was that sarcasm?
That's the, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Just...
What's up? Some
sometimes,
what's up, nerd?
Sometimes in the console world, okay.
They smashed.
You never know. Hit. Sometimes they're like, into a console "Whoa, joke. This game is so good."
And actually, Steve, went there. Steve, if you can do me a favor and pull up Radical Heights, which is an 80s infused battle royale game show.
Oh boy!
But the developer is Boss Key, and they announced that they are going to be releasing a free to play battle royale.
Not surprised.
Game that is, I think, should have hit. No, it hits Steam Early Access tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
They say that it's like Running Man or Smash TV.
It's about time that showed up. Yeah. It's about time. Thank God.
Smash TV does need a little bit more.
I'm okay with it. I think it's a good theme. I just was waiting for that. I think we talked about it on the show at one point that this would be one of these themes.
Mm-hmm. So click to skip or not. Call of Duty, piece of garbage. No, I know, I got you. Apparently, they've been working on this for the past 5 months.
Not a surprise.
When did Fortnite really start to take off? It was probably about 2-3 months ago.
December,
6 months,
beginning
ago.
Of the year.
Yeah. Okay. So we're about there. So shout out to our audio listeners. We're just watching a little bit of the announced trailer for Radical Heights. It's also, I think. There's a Founders Pack that you can buy for $15.
Oh, please.
So there's that, and I'm pretty sure that the idea is that this goes to other console as well. But this was a story from earlier today that that I just saw, because everybody knows and loves Lawbreakers.
Ooh, everybody.
This is just the first of a glut. Like, we're going to be seeing several of them. I was at GDC and saw what was the zombie game that there's been a couple of them. First person parkour.
Dead Island.
Not Dead Island.
Parkour.
Parkoury. Yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about. First person.
Oh, I played this with my friends.
Me too. It's you can co-op it. It's killing me. It's anyway, I think it's Techland. Anyway, so it's it'll come to me. You keep thinking, Nate. But they're also releasing a 100 person zombie themed one where there's like also mobs of zombies in the mix. There's
Dying Light.
Dying Light. Yes. Light. Thank you. I got to see
that.
A build of that at GDC. So Dying Light's got a their take on this. I guarantee we're going to see a Battlefield and a Call of Duty one in the next little bit.
This looks awful.
hey, it's Steam Early Access. Also, the logo on the bottom right-hand corner, shout out to our... I mean, it's kind of a meme at this point, but it looks a lot like our... The logo for another popcorn talk show, Guilty Movie Pleasures, which is just kind of silly. But I think the fact that it's free is gonna give people
it looks like HMZ1.
It happened to Fortnite. I think that's a big part of why that game is blowing up. If they get this on mobile, I'd be interested to see what engine this is in, because if this is in again Unreal and they're able to easily port this to mobile. Look out!
Then it looks like they're trying
Epic's
to go
see some of it.
Look out!
In like the middle of Fortnite and PUBG, and be like a little more realistic on the shooting and without the building, but still be silly and wacky.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun.
Kind of.
So it's
but the graphics look like. But maybe that's why. So it's colorful, but it still looks like ass.
But
like
it's
PUBG.
It's accessible. Like, oh god, it's got that jank. Yeah, yeah.
It's like right in the middle.
Makes it worse, doesn't it? Like. the worst of both worlds.
Look, it's Cliffy B's studio, man. The man knows shit.
I mean, look, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
At least for like a couple hours.
Right?
Yeah.
And look, and by all accounts, like even though the last Bosky game, the one you just mentioned that was such a hit, the big console hit.
Lawbreakers.
Somebody said it felt okay. There's no traction, right? Like, so I have reason to believe that this game will feel good.
Was that the gravity shooting game?
Yep.
Yeah. That game was a nightmare to play.
it wasn't fun? I never played it.
No, it's not that it's not fun. It's just like everybody could do so many different things. Right. And then with the gravity, like there are certain rules within shooting games, you know, rules of engagement that a lot of shooting games
play
by. That's how you play them well. Yep. Wind angles, your ranges, things of that nature. And with that game, it's just so hard to... I'm sure if you played it a lot, you would figure it out. But I dabbled a little bit. It was like a free-to-play weekend or something. And just I just couldn't wrap my head around it. It
was that the one that we played at TwitchCon?
Yeah, I think you guys played a little bit of Lawbreakers.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Everybody said that exact same thing. But it's good.
That's efficient.
Yeah, it's okay.
It reminded me of Quake, kind of.
A little bit.
Yeah, it reminded me of Unreal Tournament.
I think he went on record saying as much. Like, I think those were his inspirations.
Well, we got this thing coming out. It's free. Probably a little bit easier to check out. Might check it out this week instead of Far Cry 5.
No.
Kill me. That'll do it for this episode of Inventory Full.
Sure.
Remember, if you're watching us on Twitch, we do have a podcast feed. And if you're listening to this on our podcast feed, we have a Twitch channel. Inventory Full PT is the link, because I did it in reverse.
Correct.
I haven't. I slept probably about 8 hours over the past 4 days.
You're killing
Welcome
it.
Welcome back.
You're killing champion it.
Killing it.
So, until next time, let's get some of that sweet Spider-Man music going.
Yeah,
Patrick, where can people find you? What are you working on?
Yeah, working on a lot of stuff. I'm Peter the D is on Twitter, and for those of you who don't know, we announced today, I am the co-founder and chief gaming officer of a group called Fan Controlled Football. It's a real-life football league. We announced a 2-year exclusive deal on Twitch, so go check it out. We're at the FCFL.io. You can learn all about the league. It's a video game brought to life. You're actually controlling plays. You're playing on Twitch. It's an actual football league. We're kicking off in 2019. Exclusive.
It's so cool.
2 years. I'm hoping to get you guys involved in the league when we get there.
That
so we're still a
really
bit,
cool.
We're a little bit out, but we were finally able to announce that. We're being produced by IMG. We signed with CAA, so the games are going to be kick-ass.
Oh, wow.
Very excited about it. So check it out, FCFL.io, or I'm at P to the D's on Twitter.
Suck it, XFL.
Yeah!
Oh, boy. Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles or on PS4 at Seriously Siri, where I'm still playing Assassin's Creed, but I'm almost done. I'm going to play Far Cry, I promise. I need to go back to Far Cry.
I need you to finish
guys.
It.
Guys,
I will. I finish it. I want to talk.
Right. Hey, Nate.
What's up, nerds?
Got it.
Yeah.
You nerds. You can find me on all social medias at DogLikeNate. That's dog with 2 G's. Today I am doing the finale for Altered Carbon. We're doing that after show. It'll be at 10 on AfterBuzz on YouTube, so check that out. And I will be playing, or I should say I'll be reading tutorials about Crusader Kings.
Can you stream that?
I probably could.
Stream reading tutorials would be amazing.
Could. I don't know. We'll see. I may do I want to do like the Game of Thrones mod stream.
Sick.
Once I wrap my head around it.
You let me know when you're on. I'm on tune.
We'll do that.
Very cool. Stumbling through the rules.
Right. Twitch is looking for like, you know, new forms of content.
Yeah, totally.
So I think they'd be all about it. My name is Mark Bidonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. I'm spinning a whole bunch of plates right now. You can watch me compete on the movie trivia. Schmodown. I'm in the Inner Geekdom League. I am facing Jason Inman for the Inner Geekdom Championship.
Get him
soon. I don't have the date yet myself, so I'm doing a lot of studying, but I'll tell you once I know. And just got back from WrestleMania in New Orleans. Oh boy, what a weekend with X-Pac. I produce his podcast over on Westwood One, and we're going to have a lot to talk about on Wednesday, so if you're a wrestling fan, tune in 3 p.m. either live on video at AfterBuzz TV Wrestling, or the audio version of the podcast is available for download as well, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Just follow me on Twitter at MarpyDonica. Follow the team at InventoryFullPT. Make sure you subscribe and follow here on Twitch. And thank you again to the fine folks at The Popcorn Talk. They're on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. Make sure to subscribe to them on YouTube for providing us this studio. We love you. We thank you. Let's keep playing them games.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.